And welcome to the Diablo podcast, your home for Diablo diehards, tryhards, casual, and hardcore alike. I am your host, Xanth, and I am joined today by my, well, what comprises the triumvirate of hosts. We got Nerdwords
Hello.
and Nineball.
Oh, hi.
I threw you off there because I usually go Nineball
You
first.
usually go me
Backwards.
first,
I
yeah.
Weird. It's weird.
Not. And to drop a third N, we have Nico Rex joining us for the first time.
Hey, what's up, guys?
So, Nico, you are new to the show, not new to Diablo, but what's your background? What brings you into this game and this genre?
Okay, so I'm Nick, aka Nico Rex. I started playing Diablo probably with Diablo 3, and I got into that with the expansion when that hit. And then I always loved playing the Barbarian. But then after that, I kind of played around with some action RPGs and then fell off into like MMOs or third-person shooters, things like that. Even a few MOBAs, but then finally came back and started off with D2R. So played D2R, was pretty happy with it overall. Immediately fell in love with the Druid class, obviously all the shape-shifting abilities, the werewolf, really great. Love the aesthetic of it. And then I was just dying for Diablo 4, waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it, and then it finally hit. And I just decided one day I start making content for it because I really enjoyed it. And honestly, I think one of the greatest things about Diablo, especially with Diablo 4, is it probably has one of the best communities I've ever been a part of. Like, people are just super nice, super welcoming, and always have pretty good constructive criticism, things like that. So, and it's been a lot of fun since, pretty much followed the entire, played on launch, played Druid on launch, typically played hardcore until season 3. Then I started doing softcore, mainly just to make builds, make content faster, and then also a lot of people play softcore, so it's easier to play with people, a lot of the viewers while you're playing softcore. And then mid-season, I went into hardcore just because, you gotta scratch that itch, and that's where I love to play. So really excited for season 4, really excited for the changes coming to hardcore. No death elixir, the game feels way harder, no damage reduction at all. So we'll see how that feels, but yeah, definitely excited for season 4 and definitely happy to be here on the podcast. And I appreciate you guys for inviting me.
Well, we've brought in some streamers. We've got Macro for Necromancer. We've got Lucky for Rogue. And, let's just give the people what they want. And that's Druid content. Nico, if you aren't familiar, I play Druid predominantly and I get a lot of shit for it. So it's nice to not be outnumbered. And I feel like you did yourself a disservice, when, leaderboards were coming out, Nico. Where did you place on the first one for hardcore with Druid?
Okay, so because I started off softcore, when leaderboards were coming out, I had to go back to my hardcore character. And I did end up placing second without any Uber uniques or any unique tuning stones. So I was pretty happy with that. And I was actually ramping up to do a first place run when the competition started. But unfortunately, my druid died to an unknown killer, which happens far too often. So it was pretty painful for me. But then the PTR happened, so I was okay with that.
So again, number two hardcore druid. That's kind of a big deal. So good on you, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah,
One thing to
absolutely.
note, one thing to note, as the game is kind of hitting this great stride, with the PTR and getting a peek of the future, we're also getting a huge influx of players. Diablo 4 has come to Game Pass. And with that, it is now the most popular place for Diablo. More people are playing Diablo on Xbox than anything else, which is kind of wild, though it does make a lot of sense since you have a whole new ecosystem there that's getting to play the game for free. So welcome, Xbox players and overlords, to the Diablo podcast. You are welcome here. We appreciate you and we're trying not to offend you. In tandem with that, give a quick shout out to those of you guys who've been kind enough to leave reviews of the Diablo podcast. Going first with Dvorax with a 5-star review. So yeah, I guess I won't read out the lower star reviews. Nobody posted those. They're all good. They're all 5-star reviews. But a good one. One that was I thought well put, and it's from because there's no vowels in there. Was that we are a great podcast, but we're not quite up on the meta, and that's fine because that's why we bring in people like Nico. That's why we bring in Macro. That's why we bring in Lucky. Because we can't always be in the top of the leaderboards. But we're happy to bring those people in, and we're happy to bring in anybody coming from that Xbox ecosystem. And the goal for today is to talk about the PTR, talk about all the new additions, the fancy new equipment, tempering, masterworking, and everything else in between. So let's get into it. PTR. My PTR experience has been a little limited. Coming off of a trip with a little bit of jet lag, I've not played nearly as much as I want. But I have been enjoying the hell out of it, to the point where going back and playing regular Diablo 4 seems wrong. Have you guys had that experience right now? Where, like, you know this is going to end tomorrow, and then it's a weird complaint. Like, I still enjoy my Diablo 4, but I like this one way better. Is that going to be hard for everybody else?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, there's also, like, we're in the tail end of a season at this point, too, so generally at the end of a season there's less motivation to log in unless there's some, I mean, the leaderboards are definitely helping with keeping that engagement, but beyond that, I mean, if your power level's where it is, you know, I find myself always kind of waning towards the end of a season to give myself a break and then come back beginning of the next season, but definitely right now for sure, because, you know, PTR, woo.
Nine ball.
Yeah, agreed. I gotta be honest. I don't even know why I'm on this episode because I've had like zero opportunity to play Diablo in the past couple of weeks, including the PTR.
That honestly,
I'm here for emotional support. Yeah,
you're here because we need you, and you're part of the group, bud. Yeah, I will state even the small things. You know, I think there's plenty of big things to talk about, but like the Zoom. Just playing with that little bit more zoomed out.
Oh man,
it feels so good.
It really does.
I don't know if I'm gonna get in trouble for this or anything like that.
Oh shit!
Even though I haven't played the PTR, in order to experience it, I have played Diablo 4 in a previous test with that zoomed out feature, and it was probably one of the absolute worst things when they zoomed in the game. You know, based on previous tests, you know, it was just like, I'm glad to see that the pulled back camera angle has made its return, just because it makes it feel a lot better, that's for sure.
It feels more Diablo-y. Like, it just feels like having just that little bit more vision. It's not like a huge zoom out, but having the character not occupy as much space feels better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely also helps with like gameplay, because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of range classes, and the fact of the matter is tons of enemies at like higher tiers move incredibly fast towards your character. It's not uncommon to be swarmed pretty quickly as you start to get to those higher tiers, and having that extra zoom just gives you the opportunity to like outplay any of the mechanics that might be coming your way. So it definitely gives you a lot more advantage, especially on those range classes. And obviously, like, just being able to see more is always better.
So good on you, Blizzard, for that. Before we get into the intricacies, let's talk leveling. We were given the option to start at level 1 with nothing or immediately boost to 100, which, you know, it's hard not to take that. But I know at least one of you that didn't. So what can we expect when it comes to leveling with season 4?
So you're referring to me. Yeah, so all my PTR time I spent leveling. I did not take the boost. I knew it was there in the town. I found it. And I went, wait a minute, I kind of don't want to do that. There's a ton of people testing the meta and like the end game and like all that stuff. And I definitely want to dive into the pit because obviously I've been a proponent for a greater Rift style system for a long time. So very, very excited to dive into that. But I did not do that. I just started a level one character, went straight to World Tier 2 Helltide and just played the damn game. Dropped an item that had plus one to Frozen Orb. So if you're wanting to run Frozen Orb, it's great. Even without powers, like even just leveling the changes make it really, really good. I'm telling you right now, like, again, sorcerer perspective here, the control you have over Frozen Orb by choosing where it explodes, that's such a massive change. I cannot, like, emphasize how fucking cool it is enough, right? Like, I could cast a Frozen Orb right on my character and just melee range Frozen Orb. I can cast it 30, 40 yards away and have it explode over there. Wherever you click cast is where it hits. And that feels like a sorcerer to me. I have control over that spell. And then you pair it with, you know, the other, like, you know, aspects you can get to make it do other things, and it just becomes crazy and super fun. And it feels so good. I'm curious to hear what Nico has to say about, you know, the kind of end game systems that I didn't really get to test yet. But I know early game, my one worry is how easy the game was, but that just might be that Frozen Orb was busted as hell and felt really good leveling up, especially with the Fireball enchant. Like, oh my god, it's disgusting. It was super fun, but I didn't get the unique amulet, right, that gave you all the cool conjurations, which I'm sure is going to be awesome, and I've heard really good things about it. But leveling felt fast. It felt fun. Helltide is crazy fun, even in World Tier 2, which is like the tamed down versions of it. Definitely enjoyed Helltide a lot. I just lived there for the whole leveling experience. But yeah, from a sorcerer perspective, especially the one that was playing Frozen Orb, leveling just felt really easy. Like, and it's never been like the most challenging experience, but it did feel very easy. I was never really at risk at all. I'd find armor pieces and items and throw them on. I'd go temper them. I did a little bit of that. Didn't do a ton of it, but a little bit of that. And yeah, it's great. It was super fun. I felt myself playing the game more and reading less, and that was also a huge win, which is the intent, right? And so for me, the leveling experience was super fun. I already like leveling in RPGs. There's just like a grinder mentality in me, but I had a lot of fun leveling. I just spent an afternoon just leveled up, right? Just jumped in for a few hours and had a super good time with it. So yeah, feels good. So yeah, moral of the story, be a Frozen Orb sorcerer and level that way, and it goes great. It's fantastic.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
That's fine. They're all good, but Frozen Orb felt real good.
So I got a chance to test a couple of classes, and the first one I jumped in on was Druid, because naturally, that's where I'm going to start. And Druid, Nico, you're going to have...
Nature joke.
Yeah. Hun. So, Nico, your perspective on this, I think, will be more helpful than mine, because I didn't test as extensively as you had. I was kind of disappointed with the Druid on this patch. It feels very samey, whereas when I was playing a Necromancer, it felt like a brand new class. Like, it felt so good.
That's a hard contrast. Necromancer is a new class.
Well, it is. You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Right.
You're not wrong. Anyway, I did a deep dive into the Druid when the patch first came out. And looking at all the changes, it actually looked like they didn't really do anything that was changing the class, like, fundamentally. It seemed like there was a big shakeup with Necromancer, big shakeup with Barbarian. Even though Hodabarb is still really good, a lot of other skills got buffed. Now, unfortunately, everybody's running Dust Devils, which is completely broken, but there are actually some really good Barbarian builds in there that you can make new this season. And just like in Season 3, they had Charge Barb, now they have more, you know, different builds they can create. And it seemed like that Rogue was getting some nice buffs there at the end of Season 3, and then some changes made to the grenades and everything for Rogue. And obviously, you know, Sork, you have now the Frozen Orb, and I think it's really cool. Something about Frozen Orb is that they made it better for PC players, right? So PC players now have the ability to use their skill as opposed to just like mindlessly casting the orb and it explodes at a, you know, a targeted designation. You can actually pick where it goes. So I like stuff like that. That separates like controller players versus PC players. But then Druid pretty much is the exact same thing. And they did create some uniques, right? They had the new Earthbreaker ring. And I think overall, see, I wish we had 2 weeks to do this PTR. Because today on my stream, I was testing it out, and it actually made Landslide really good. But it's not necessarily that the ring made Landslide really good. It's also the fact that they have affixes now that double cast abilities. And pretty much everything that double casts an ability is going to be really good. But other than that, like the biggest part of the Druid, what do people like to play on Druid the most in terms of Landslide? It's going to be Trample Slide, or it's going to be Subterranean, or it's going to be a pairing of both of those things. And that Earthbreaker ring does not affect those abilities. So you're stuck basically casting it. And what happens is it turns into a weaker version of Pulverize, which is basically the only pure Werebear build that Druid has had since the launch of the game is Pulverize. So, you know, and then all, obviously you have affixes now that affect Pulverize in a pretty major way, and we'll probably talk about that when we get into the tempering system. But yeah, I mean, it did make pre-existing builds better, but there really wasn't anything significant that was like, wow, I'm getting to try something brand new. And some of the cooler changes they made towards the end of Season 3 with, like, the quick shift passive, and they amped up the damage from there. They, the damage on Tuesday's meme and everything that kind of went around. They basically took quick shift and heightened senses and just jammed damage on Tuesdays into it. They're like, we're going to make you have to stackable buff, and you're going to have to shift back and forth. And they did the same thing with some of the uniques as well. The Wild Heart unique is that way. What's the Yin's? It's called Yin's Blessing or something like that. If it's another pair of boots, it's a unique pair of boots. It's crazy. If you read the text on it, it's like 30% chance to cast a non-ultimate, non-mobility skill that's on cooldown every 12 seconds. It's like, why? So there's a lot of things about the Druid that are fun. I think if new players coming to the class are going to enjoy the class, there's tons of viable builds there. I have a video up where I kill a Tormented Duriel already solo with a Werenado Druid. I did a tier 200 pit run really easily with it as well. But if you're a seasoned Druid player, you're probably not going to have that, you know, excitement that other players might have with their classes coming back to D4.
Yeah, I think that was kind of my hope, was maybe like breaking away from Tempest Roar, breaking away from having to be stuck at a werewolf casting Tornado or Lightning Bolt.
I will say this, you will be able to. There is room for that. So there's a lot of spirit generation now you can get on your gear pieces. So that's actually something I was messing around with. So you can get a ton of spirit generation now, especially if you get a greater affix. You have spirit generation on your chest piece, on your boots. I think you can get it on your helmet as well. And there's also spirit cost reduction rolls you can get on like a two-hand weapon. So for instance, I was using the Werenado build, and I had a two-hand mace that had it flat without any greater affix roll, it could have like 41% spirit cost reduction. So if you get a greater affix roll, you're going to have 60% spirit cost reduction. And then you start further masterworking it. So there's definitely a lot of room there for not being like a werewolf caster. And I actually think that human caster Druid is going to be a big part of Season 4, especially because you don't have as much damage reduction that you had in Season 3 and before that. So you're going to be looking for that Shaco. And that Shaco is going to give you that 20% damage reduction. It's going to give you +4 to all of your stats. You're going to be able to cast all of your skills without worrying about spirit. And you're going to be able to do that in human form. So if you want to play like human Lightning Storm, human Tornado build, human Landslide build, stuff like that, I definitely think you'll be able to in Season 4.
Well, here's to hoping. But when you said Shaco, I was like, well, it's not going to happen because I've never found one. But maybe it's a bit easier.
There's a greater chance now.
Yeah, your chances are getting better.
Oh,
Yeah, that is very true. There is a higher
likelihood. By also you not finding one as well, like not just the changes to the game, but because you haven't found one.
Yeah, eventually.
Law of averages, you should be getting there at this point, like at some point.
I mean, if anything, I'm getting higher chances of failure because like every boss I do, I don't find one. So as opposed to like, oh, well, I don't have enough mats for Duriel, so I won't get one. Now I'm just not finding it. That's okay. That's fine. You know, like that's RNG, and I'm okay with that. So as we're talking about other classes, and this is such a shame for you, Nineball, I will tell you, the Necromancer just slaps. It is so. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I've seen some stuff about actually like shadow minions, and it's like it's everything that I wanted, honestly.
Yeah, macro's got a ton of content. It looks so much fun. I think it's really awesome.
It's like the combination of like the pulling back of the view, and then you've got all these minions, and we should preface like this is PTR. Things are busted. Things don't work properly. There's a host of issues with every class, and that's okay, right? It is so nice to like have this week where everything's kind of broken and everybody's reporting it. And I know season 4's launch is going to still have its issues. There's no way it's going to be perfect. But it's nice to know that we're not going to get stuck with a season of Dust Devil barbarians dominating everything. It'll be a different kind of barbarian.
Ridiculous.
Not just dominating everything, dominating your screen as well.
As a druid, why is the barbarian better at casting tornadoes than I am?
For me, it's hilarious because every time they're like, okay, we're nerfing them, we're fixing it, and then like the next day, Rob's like, oh well, found something else.
Turns out
every like that dude is just he's at the forefront of it. It's amazing. It's fun to watch it. Those tornado videos were insane. Burning graphics cards.
As I said in previous episodes, always bet on Barb.
Yeah, always bet on Barb. Yeah.
Always bet on Barb.
But I think this is the season of Necromancer. Do you think it will be I think everything's gonna get reduced. We know that. But the Necromancer, I just can't imagine them taking such a heavy touch to it that it's not still super effective. And really, I think most importantly, it's just fun. It was just fun to play. Like, I haven't had a Necromancer with minions that I've enjoyed in a while. So it was a treat, and I'm looking forward to, dare I say it, I'm probably still going to start a druid, because I always do. But I might start a necro. I might just go necro on start, because I know it's going to be a good time.
I'm starting Sork, but I'm going to play Necro for sure, 100%.
We will see. We will see. You still got a little time, Nineball. It's all the PTR. Just play like a little druid. You could just start at level 1.
I installed. Actually did install it. Yeah. Okay. But, yeah.
I think we can get him to do it by the end of the podcast.
I'm going to bed at the end of the podcast. It's late. I'm tired.
That's true. We do keep you up late. So we dance around it a little bit, and as we go into some of the bigger things, I think what I did first outside of boosting a character to level 100 was immediately go to tempering. This is what I wanted to play around with. This is what I wanted to see happen. And for those of you guys who have tested, or if you have not tested, you know, you boost to 100. You're outfitted with a random assortment of legendary gear, which has completely shifted as well. It's kind of hard not to talk about, or hard to talk about tempering without talking about how gear has changed, because it is a little bit more reduced, and everything seems to be a little bit better. As I'm looking at gear and kind of being like,
thicker, girthier. It's girthier. Yeah. It is. Look, the metaphor checks out, okay?
I'm sorry. It works. I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just not the adjective I was expecting. Like, I don't know how to tackle that girth.
But it's a good Nico agrees. It's a good one.
I mean, it does accurately describe it, I will
it
say.
It does,
that.
Right? That's it.
The girth is there. It exists.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. It's not. Oh. Okay. It's not what I was expecting today, guys, but that's okay. That's okay. This girthier item system is definitely felt. You can really wrap your hands around it. Okay.
You're taking it really far there.
Yeah, this went a different direction.
I'm leaning in. Okay. But that was one of the first things I did was go and start tempering. Because you're given your tempering manuals. I wanted to see what I could actually do and what I could play around with. And as we were kind of alluding before, like with the druid, I did find a few things that were exciting. I found more excitement on the necromancer tempering right off the get-go, like being able to kind of juggle around a little bit. But that's just, again, those initial reactions. But as a whole, I am enamored with the tempering system. I wanted to like hold back a bit on the PTR so as to not spoil myself for release. But then I'm also kind of kicking myself because it's like, I could have been just doing a whole bunch of fucking tempering right now.
Right.
That feels good. Especially since crafting hasn't really existed. But I'm curious what your takes have been on the overall tempering system, guys.
So, okay.
Interesting to me.
Yeah, this is nine over here. Wild opinion. This is the system I engaged with the most. Because, again, I did not do the end game stuff. I didn't mess with the pit. I didn't mess with masterworking at all. Though I know it's kind of, like, synergistic with tempering as well. I love it. I was apprehensive about it at first. When I first, like, heard about it, they discussed it. Okay, it's different. It sounds cool. First you got to start with the stats are so much better. I was nervous about it because it was gonna feel a little samey, especially with like Diablo 3 with how simplified it was, but it's not quite that simple, right? It's still got some complexity to it and stuff, but yeah, it's really, really good. And again, I'm spending less time reading loot because there's less lines of text to read, which is a win just across the board. I also, before we kind of get into the tempering thing, it's also there's just less loot, and that is a good thing. Even leveling, that felt good. It felt fine, right? I didn't notice like, oh my god, I'm not getting anything for this. Like, I was still getting loot regularly, but it wasn't like just raining and I had to go to town every 5 minutes, you know. But with the tempering piece, here's my thing about it that I really love the most is that, and I've talked at length about it on the podcast before, about player power, character power, right? Like at the heart of an RPG, it's about building a character that is powerful, right? That grows and, you know, gains levels and gains experience, but you know, gets stronger. You know, if you go back to like D&D or other RPGs and stuff, like character power is like everything, right? There's gear there to enhance it, but the character's always what's powerful. And with Diablo 3 and with Diablo 4, it has never felt that way, because again, a naked character does basically nothing at all without a weapon in hand. Whereas Diablo 1, Diablo 2, and other ARPGs, like, your character is powerful. And don't get me wrong, you're not exactly like in D2 going to do naked bail runs. You could probably do it, but you're not doing that intentionally. But if you died and lost your loot and had to go get it, you're not completely functionless, right? Like, you have abilities and things like that you can do. I think my favorite thing about the tempering thing is that fantasy kind of comes back. They changed the Codex of Power to the Codex of Wisdom, right? Which feels like Diablo 1 learning tomes to me now. Right, like as I'm getting items and salvaging them, I'm gaining the knowledge of those. Right, so like my internal headcanon sorcerer is like compiling all of this knowledge to then imbue things, and that's sick, right? Like that's super cool. You're welcome, Blizzard. That's my own internal fantasy, but you can use it because it feels that way to me, and it felt that way leveling up. And I'll give you an example. Like I found a weapon, it's a two-handed staff, and it was green. Up arrow, put it on. Okay. I'm just smacking stuff. I'm throwing frozen orbs. I'm throwing ice bolts. That's right. I'm using ice bolt. I just wanted to try it. Still doesn't hit great, but it's better than it was. So using ice bolt and throwing frozen orbs. And I see, you know, I get a quest for the tempering recipes and stuff. So I go over and I do it. And It's very simple. Right? I can temper, and it gives me percent damage, damage to close, and damage to distant, I think it was. Like, well, hey, you know what? No matter what I do, damage increase, throw it on my yellow weapon I just got, sweet. It rolled 122% damage to close. So in that moment, at like level 20 or something, whatever, I was pretty low level at the time. My frozen orbs are trucking, right? Like I'm dropping them in melee range because, again, I have control over that now. Dropping them in melee range, and it just felt so good, and it felt so cool. Because I didn't plan on playing a melee build. I was playing frozen orb, right? The intent is to play ranged. But now I can kind of make that adjustment. And so I kind of enacted like the old D3 strategy of play, let the gear come, and adjust your build based on that gear rather than going in with a build in mind and then changing it, right? I can always do that at endgame. But while leveling, it felt very cool to just, oh, sweet, I got this thing that gave me plus to incinerate. You know what? I can swap a couple things here, and then now I can just incinerate stuff. That felt really cool. I thought that was really awesome. And that's my favorite part about it, is it feels, again, you're not going to run out and do damage without gear on, but the player power and player knowledge, or character power, character knowledge, felt more present. And that, to me, helps this game feel more like an RPG that I love. So that's really cool. Really, really cool.
Go ahead.
I would just say, to piggyback off of that, we did neglect the Codex. It was so nice to just...
Mwah, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss.
Like, okay, I've got this random assortment of gear. I know the actual aspects I need. I'm just grabbing from the Codex. I don't have to go and find the one that never, ever drops no matter what. It's there. I'll just grab it. And now I have a fully functional build, instead of having to wait on the one aspect that never ever drops. I'm looking forward to that for leveling, where like I'm not waiting to level. I'm re-rolling my her Cordura to try and hit the leaderboards before the end of the season, and I was level 48 before I could fully get the pulverized build going, because just that one aspect just wasn't there, and it was in my stash for the higher 40s. That wasn't an issue on the PTR because all those aspects were there, and man, was that nice. It just feels...
No, I have a question real quick, because it's what were you saying?
No, go ahead.
Well, so question real quick, because I've not been able to find this directly. I know that the Codex has all the powers, or can have all the powers in it, right? There's no powers left out of the Codex, right? But when you start a new character on a new season, do you start with every power in the Codex unlocked already, or do you still have to unlock them through doing dungeons to get them unlocked?
The intent going into season 4 is that every new season it's going to be blank.
Okay, that's what I thought. So that's still good then, right? Because, again, like, I like that it's all there, but I do want to still have to hunt. I need to go do this dungeon to get this power. Again, that kind of completes my character fantasy thing, right? I want to go do this dungeon to learn this thing. So I hadn't seen that, so thank you. Awesome.
It's also, like, just that one aspect is nice because, like, how it ties into the seasonal journey, since you'll just, like, unlock those aspects. And, like, so you'll never be starting completely from scratch.
Yeah.
You know, because it doesn't really take a lot in order to complete, like, say, like the first two steps of the seasonal journey. And it will get you, you know, a smattering of some aspects to set you on, you know, a particular build or play style, you know, depending upon what else that you find.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things for me is just like, I mentioned this, I believe, on the last episode, is like, you know, things like Umbral, or, you know, any type of like any of the ring resource aspects that... Oh, I found a perfect roll. Let me hold on to this till I'm 95.
Forever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to put this on anything till I've got a 925 to enchant it on. Now it's just like, yeah, just throw that on everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely also... It also gives you the opportunity to feel a little bit more progression every time you deconstruct your gear, right? Yep. So in the early game, you still feel that sense of progression, even if you don't have to sort through all your gear to find that perfect gear piece, or maybe you didn't get any upgrades after you returned to sort through your loot, but you scrap everything, and now you have more Codex power, so you can turn to that if you need something extra to boost up your character. I will say this, though. I really hope, and this is something broadly across the entire of the entirety of the PTR, they really need to balance out the Veld Crystal costs, because it gets pretty crazy. They got to do something about that. But definitely love the Codex system. Honestly, if you look at my stash in Season 3 and Season 2, pages of aspects. Yeah. So definitely happy I will not have to deal with that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's missing that or going to miss it. It was a decent holdover until we're getting this. So, hooray. Nico, what are your thoughts on tempering as you dove in and messed around with it?
So one of the best parts about tempering, I think, is that it's not just a great system, right? It gives you all this, you know, variety of change you can create for your character as you progress through the game, but they can expand upon it in so many different directions. So there's so much room for growth in that system. Two things I personally think could probably be improved upon. I hope that they implement some kind of a retainment for your previously rolled affix, much like you would do when you go to the occultist to roll an affix on your gear. I think it could be a little bit too punishing, I would say, for a casual player, like someone who's picking it up to play it. It can be pretty brutal, especially because you can eventually brick your item, you know, if you don't get the right affix rolls. So maybe give an opportunity for players to retain an affix, and then maybe also increase the amount of times you can roll it. But overall, with the system, I think it's incredibly transformative. And that's one of the things that I've been asking for so long, right? It's like one of the biggest issues that people have with Diablo is almost the simplicity of everything, right? There's not enough creativity involved with it. And I think this absolutely creates that. And again, just adds that room for expansion. So just speaking about the Druid, right? There's so many skills that can be double cast now. You double cast tornadoes, double cast boulders, double cast landslide. That's really cool. Or something for like pulverized players, right? They have the ability to actually increase the size of your pulverize, how far it can hit. So when you combine that with, say, like Ursine Horror, and then you also combine that with Shockwave, I could literally hit the target dummy with a pulverize from the doorway of the cellar, right? It's ridiculous how far you can hit something with pulverize when you get that, right? So there's tons of creativity packed into that system. There were some misses. I don't necessarily understand who thought about creating lightning storm duration. That was kind of weird to me. Like, who's asking to have their lightning storm last longer? I thought that would be a better, you know, spell to have double cast on, but maybe it has something to do with channeling. But lots of duration increase. So if you want to stay in Dire Bear or Dire Wolf, you'll be able to do that, you know. And then, you know, everybody's favorite bug this season for Druid, I should say the PTR for Druid, was Hurricane. Hurricane duration. You could ramp that Joker up. It would be doing trillions of damage. That was pretty funny. But yeah, lots of stuff, lots of new creative builds you can make, and a system you can further expand upon in the future. So pretty happy with it, and definitely excited to get my hands on the final product in Season 4.
I think you hit on something that is kind of been floating around, is this concept of like skill creativity. And Nineball, you had just shared a video not that long ago. We had one of the former Diablo 3 developers talking about why Diablo 3 and Last Epoch were not exactly synonymous, and why the developers at the time couldn't make a game like Last Epoch. And in that video, he talks about skill simplicity, right? And why their skill system was overly complicated at the start, and they pared it down to being what it ended up being at the end. And he reluctantly, and Nineball, the developer's name off the top of my head?
Andrew Chambers.
Andrew Chambers, that's it. Andrew does, you know, kind of say, like, he kicks himself later on, saying, like, I should have advocated more for that. And we see a little bit of that simplicity in Diablo's skill tree, right? And the Paragon system is a little bit more complicated, but also tenuous. But the complexity that is finding its way back in with the tempering is more exciting, right? It is more exciting to dig around and try and mess with these things, as opposed to just having a small selection of runes to choose from, as opposed to having five different choices on a skill tree wheel. And it's exciting to see what other people are going to come up with. Or really, I feel like there's almost a little bit more freedom to kind of make it your own, right? Where you're going to be less beholden to just a meta and be like, yeah, I can see why that's really good, but I also want my pulverize to be so fucking huge it clears an entire field. Like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, I mean,
want to relive the glory days of D2 corpse explosion literally hitting two screens away, you know?
The size of corpse tendrils that I have seen is just hilarious when it's pulling from, like, two screens over and bringing them back. Like,
it was already like half the screen.
It was already huge,
It was already huge, and then the affix for it is like 40% like increased size. Like, damn.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. And again, like, you can just play a build that you want to be fun. Whereas, like, I think the Paragon system doesn't have that kind of creativity. It just is lacking. But the tempering has that. And Nico, I think you're absolutely right. There's so much more room for growth there.
Yeah.
There's so many more, like, just every new season, we're going to add in a bunch more tempering manuals and just get weird with it, guys. Just get weird with it. That's all I want.
Bro, I built, just for the heck of it, I had, you know, Druid has a skill called Ravens. Probably one of the worst skills in the game. They buffed it at least 15 times. It's still absolutely trash. Garbage skill. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm wrong. I could be wrong about that. Someone could come out of the woodwork, have a crazy Ravens build. But I literally built this thing out with, like, Ravens, the Ravens size affix, and you could cast Ravens. It would literally take up your whole screen. Like, it would just be a circle of Ravens flocking around the target, doing absolutely no damage.
But they were big.
Big birds out there, okay? Really big birds out there. So, and that's one of the things, like, I do make build guides, but my whole approach to it is, like, I don't want to tell you how to play the game. I want to kind of give you my direction and, you know, and maybe you take that and build upon it. I love that. I love that this system actually gives players the opportunity to really express their own creativity. You know, that's a good thing.
Now, to give you another plug, one of the things that I really enjoyed is if you look at a lot of build guides at the moment, they're very Uber focused, right? If you don't have an Uber, you can't play it. And that's not super accessible. Whereas I've seen a lot of your content doesn't have that, which, again, I like because I don't have any Ubers and I'm probably not going to have any Ubers. The next season I will. It's going to happen, guys.
On your Necro. Not your crew.
Oh, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is this.
Listen.
It's going to happen.
They put drop chance with every boss now, okay? Yeah. I don't think it's going to be possible for you not to at least get one. Now, will it be the one you want? I don't know.
Challenge accepted. to quote my students. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
No cap.
Dead ass. Sorry, I've been working with the youth and it's bleeding into this. I don't like that. but yeah, the tempering system does feel really great. One of the things that was been kind of on my mind for anybody who's played Path of Exile before is as we get into a crafting system in Path of Exile, you have a Val orb, which is gives you the chance to corrupt your item, essentially preventing it from being crafted anywhere past that actual valing of it. But it will do one of two things. Either it destroys the item completely, or it adds on some crazy new modifier. And that was something that I've been thinking about a little bit with the tempering system, is maybe we're going to get there eventually. Because that's always exciting. Like, okay, I think I've taken this item as far as I can go. Now I have one more step, and I can either destroy it, or I can turn it into some crazy amalgamation of awesome. And there's always a possibility that it just, like, it just becomes corrupted and there's no change. But there's the small little chance that it, you know, suddenly becomes six white sockets, or it gives +2 to certain types of skills or whatever it might be. That would be exciting. But hey, I mean, baby steps. We just got a crafting system and yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome to have that kind of control. In tandem with that, right? If we're going to talk tempering, when we talk about changing our items, we also got masterworking. Now, this is a system I didn't play really at all with, and I know, well, nobody else did, except for Nico. So, Nico, how's Masterwork working?
Well, I will say, I think it's an absolutely perfect system from my experience with it so far. I think the amount of Masterworking materials you get from the pit are pretty fair, and, you know, once you start to reach, I think it's like tier 80, you start to get the end crafting material. I can't remember. It starts with an N. I'm not sure what the name of it specifically is. It's like Nethyl Iron or something like that. But anyway, you get that. And if you do make it into the higher tiers, you get a ton of it. So it's pretty fair. And honestly, like, I mean, by the time I reached tier 200, I had like, I don't know, I think I have like 13,000 of them. So you get a ton of masterworking material. And I felt like, you know, when you would fail, it would always increase the chance that you would succeed on the next, you know, masterworking. So you would inevitably reach that, you know, 4-star piece of gear, which would be like the end, you know, 12 ranks to your piece of gear. The only thing that I really hope that they do make better with the masterworking system, and I know they will. So in order to basically break down those higher tier crafting materials, you have to take your crafting materials to the alchemist. And then you exchange them there for the lower tier items. The cool thing is that they all stack when you exchange them. So they go into your inventory and they stack up to 100 caches. However, currently, you have to rapidly tap a key or a controller button all the way, like 100 times, to use every single one. So it's like one keystroke, one button stroke uses one cache. So you're just sitting there like tap, 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 to get all your crafting materials. And, you know, there's really no other way to do it because you scale out of those like lower tier crafting materials pretty fast. But overall, pretty happy with the masterworking system. When you do get a, you know, when you hit that 4, that 8, and that 12 rank on your item, the changes to the affixes are really, you know, are pretty significant, especially if you're talking about crit chance, if you're talking about like resource cost reduction, you're looking for, you know, it really does give you that opportunity to create the perfect piece of gear, right? And I think that they really don't need to change too much with it. I think it's a pretty good system overall. Definitely have enjoyed it, and definitely think it's pretty fair the amount of materials you get from doing the pit.
Well, I'm going to take your word for it because I did not do any masterworking. But again, crafting, we get to do it, and we get to do it double time. You talked about the pit. What can we expect? What
is it? Everything I've ever dreamed of, Nico.
Did you play a lot of Diablo 3?
I did.
Did you like Greater Rifts?
I love Greater Rifts.
Well, then you
kill
will
stuff, finish stuff. Don't even worry about anything else. Just kill stuff.
You will love the pit, and I believe it's more punishing than Greater Rifts because the bosses at the end, you can't, you know, like in D3, you could CC the bosses or crowd control the bosses. You get stunned, right? I believe so.
No.
No, you couldn't?
You know, you could not.
You couldn't stun them, or okay, well, maybe I'm wrong, but
keep in mind wizard, right? So no, like I never stunned any. I mean, I don't think you could. Am I wrong, Nye?
No, in D3 you could.
Okay,
I DR super fast. Is that what it was?
Yeah, they did DR
okay.
Super fast.
It wasn't. Yeah, you couldn't perma. Okay, gotcha. That's
what yeah.
So
yeah.
Necromancers would have had a terrible fucking time with bosses.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So in D3, you could CC crowd control bosses. Yeah. Obviously, you can in D4. And those bosses are pretty punishing. When you start to scale into the higher tiers, I mean, it's not necessarily the bosses, right? Because you play against these bosses when you're doing Nightmare Dungeons. So you should be pretty familiar with those mechanics. It's when they start throwing mechanics out of nowhere from other bosses that aren't even, you know, associated with that specific boss, right? That
sounds awesome.
Yeah, you're going to get, like, Lilith waves coming at you randomly. You're going to have...
That's rude. That's
rude. Bro, you're going to have, like, what's the first boss that you kill? The lady, I think she's, like, the mother of the main... you know who I'm talking about?
Oh God, it's been a campaign, so
she's in the doing the little summoning. Yeah, she'll come back too. She'll send her attacks at you. They'll have Elias come back. He'll be shooting attacks at you. There's like tons of different things that occur all at once, right? So you're gonna have the boss attacking you with their abilities. You're gonna have random little spawns attacking you. You're gonna have it's crazy. It sometimes can be a little bit, you know, like muddy your screen, and you'll be like, what exactly did I die from? One of the abilities that kind of annoys me, because I played Where Nato Druid for the past couple days, there's an attack where they spawn like similar looking tornadoes, but they'll one shot you, obviously. So I'm sitting here casting tornadoes and then out of nowhere I die, and it's because, well, you know, randomly
which
spawn.
Which one's the good tornado? Which one's the bad one?
Yeah, it's like, is that mine or is that yours? Oh, it turns out it's yours. So I think you're going to really love that aspect of it. And obviously, the rest is just, yeah, you're mindlessly killing enemies. You get to the end, you get your loot. And the only thing I will say, and it's something that I have agreed on with other people, is that when you open up the chest, sometimes you'll get, all the time, you will get rare items. So obviously, your in-game system, why are you getting rare items? So I hope that they change that. I hope that... Oh, I think they will, unless they have a plan for rare items with the new season mechanic, or there's something in the future they plan to implement. But there should be zero rare items dropping out of the chest. If anything, just give us more crafting materials. But, you know, definitely...
Real quick, Nico, just kind of for the audience out there too, the reason for that is because there's only two affixes on rares instead of the three that drop on legendaries, correct? So it just by and large makes them less powerful. So you want to get a legendary item that you can then masterwork into better.
Yeah, you want to be able to temper it, and you want to be able to masterwork it. So
that's what I thought. Okay, just making sure.
Yeah, legendary items are the new thing.
Pure salvage.
Yep. So they definitely need to do something about that. But yeah, if you're looking for that mindless killing and then a little bit of difficulty there with the boss room at the end, you're going to get it every single time you step into the pit. It's actually really nice. And I think it's definitely like where the nightmare dungeons and the uber bosses, they didn't really feel like an end game. They just kind of felt like a slog, like grinding this over and over again. This actually feels like a legit end game. This feels like something they can expand upon. It feels like they could eventually add more tiers to it. They can add more tormented bosses. I mean, they could do so many things.
Wait, no affixes either, right?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, no, not nothing. Oh. Just straight up. You're just running in there. There's there is no lightning storm. Okay, I promise you. There's no storm wrath, okay? You don't have to worry about death pulse. It's not coming your way. So I think you're going to have a great time in the pit. It's definitely way better than anything. Oh, and just if you do like Nightmare Dungeons, the sigils, they no longer have as many affixes on them either. So they're going to be a lot easier in Season 4 as well. So if you played in the PTR a little bit, you've played any of the Nightmare Dungeons, I think I only see two. There's like one monster affix on there and then one affix for you. So one that benefits you and one that buffs the monsters in the dungeon.
Mm. Ooh, I'm excited. Mwah.
I think Nerdworks is going to need a change of pants. That was too much for him.
It's true.
It's everything you wanted and more. I think you touched on it. Like we're seeing this shifting. I mean, Helltide is now pretty solid from level 1 to 100. You have the pit. We're losing vaults. Nightmare Dungeons don't feel right.
Rusted pepperoni.
Just change Nightmare Dungeons. Listen, they changed Helltides, the Blood Harvest event. Just change Nightmare Dungeons to the vault. Bang. I love the vault. I think the vault was great.
I mean, I think the real message is with Nightmare Dungeons, just like double the amount of mobs in all of them, remove all qualifiers, like all pedestals and things to go grab and hostages, and just give me a runway and a boss at the end of it, right? And just I think we win.
Tear through it. And then just a massive let me
murder them.
Massive amount of loot drops.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I think this season, obviously we don't know what the new mechanic will be. But losing vaults, which, you know, as you're talking, nerd words, you know, it's not a straight line, but it's pretty close.
Oh, vaults were awesome. Vaults were awesome. Except for, as we talked about earlier, Vizier constructs. Those things can suck my dick. But other than that, the vaults were awesome.
Yeah. Being able to have a clear cut way to one level, but then also, like, I think this was the most effective season I've had in terms of leveling glyphs. It was so much easier than any other season that I've had. But yeah, going back to a traditional Nightmare Dungeon is going to be hard. You know, it's easy on the PTR when you boost to 100 and every glyph is level 21 because you don't have to think about, like, oh crap, I'm gonna have to go and do this manually.
I don't think that'll be as big of a problem. I think that, like, it's been a slog in the past, but they've ramped up the glyph XP significantly. They're doing it again with this patch, with this pass. And then on top of that, you got to remember, like, the gear is far less in quantity and much easier to sift through. So that part of the process is simpler. So, okay, so I've got to spend some time grinding stuff to get power in a certain play, like game mode, I don't think it's a problem. Even if I don't like affixes, they're reducing the number of affixes as well. So it's just like, I'm running out of reasons to bitch about Nightmare Dungeons at this point. So I think I'm just going to give it a shot and see how it goes. But the developers have done what they can to make that a good system. And let's be honest, at the end of the day, they spent way too much time and money and assets developing all of these dungeons to just be like, nah, we're not going to have those anymore. So, like, yeah, they've got to find a way to keep utilizing them and making them better. And I think they're getting there. So we'll see how season 4 feels, but I think it's going to be good. I trust.
Wow.
I know.
Nine bold. Did you
bold.
Did you hear that?
Nerdwords just like completely about Nightmare Dungeons. Yeah,
I'm just excited about the Frozen Orb changes, guys. Okay, it just got me on cloud 9 right now. Right, I'm just so excited.
Yeah. I think we have like over 50 episodes in which you have done nothing but complain about Nightmare Dungeons. Did you hear this?
It's just wrong. It's just funny to me. I've never heard a man so excited about blue balls before.
I know, right? Stuff.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Man, I'm
he's really looking forward to playing with his frozen orbs. I don't know, man.
Very much so. Very, very much so.
And it's completely shifted his perspective on life. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Okay. So we've cleared a lot of this, but what we haven't cleared are the Ubers, right? And I don't think there's a better name than that. I feel like we nailed it. The Ubers, because the first Ubers weren't Uber enough, so we have to do it twice. Ubers. Nico, how are these Ubers? Outside of, you know, obviously when you're doing trillions of damage on a bug. For a normal class,
or attacking with your girthy ravens.
Yeah, those girthy ravens that do zero damage.
But they are girthy.
Yes, they are. I mean, they hit you, and you definitely feel it. You're gonna bruise somebody with that, you know.
Nice.
But you know. Anyway, so for the Uber bosses, right? So I think that they're pretty well done. Now, granted, we don't know what the end difficulty of the game is going to be, right? The difficulty's in flux. I do still feel like maybe we have a little bit too much power, because like if I'm tackling a, you know, tormented level 200 Duriel boss and I'm doing it without min-maxing my Werenado Druid, and I'm killing him in like a minute and a half, I think that's a little bit too fast. I still feel like there should be a significant grind that you, maybe not significant, a moderate grind that you'd have to do, right? You'd have to put some thought and effort into your build before you can tackle these bosses like that. So I do feel like it's a little bit too easy still. However, it's definitely significantly better than what the Uber bosses currently are. I mean, 10 times better. The bosses actually deal damage. You have to be mindful of their attacks. You have to dodge things, especially like Duriel. Lots of poison damage there. Very tanky. You're not just going to blow through them unless you're using a bug. You're not really just going to blow through the boss's health. And I think it is a way better version of the, obviously, the previous Uber bosses that you've already fought. One boss I wish I had been able to tackle, but because they have a current bug with Beast in the Ice, where you don't get the dolls that you're supposed to. So you get the shackles from killing Xur, but you get these dolls that you're supposed to get from Beast in the Ice to summon Andariel. The problem is you only get those if you kill the level 200 or uber Beast in the Ice, which I am not going to get all that distilled for to do that. But if you go and look at, I recently watched Wadijo's stream, and he killed Tormented Andariel. The mechanics in that fight were insane. Like, there were so many things to keep track of. There weren't any real one shots, but if you get the stacking debuff when the boss hits you, eventually you make enough mistakes, you're going to die. So you have to pay attention to those mechanics. So I think it's definitely a good change for the bossing, and you know, the reward system is really nice. The only thing I would change, though, is that if you kill like a tormented Galvanic Saint, or if you kill like a tormented Varshon, you tend to only get like one of the boss summoning material for the like Duriel or Andariel. So hopefully they change that, because it's a lot of materials to invest to only get one mucus egg or to only get one shard. So hopefully they change that, but the reward felt good. You know, it was definitely a challenge. I do feel like they need to either tone our power down or tune the bosses up just a little bit more, but I definitely think players are going to feel a sense of accomplishment when they finally get to tackle those bosses. And I think when you're in a party, it's going to be even more fun, because there's just so many things that can go wrong when there's, you know, multiple people there and you're trying to pick everybody up and these mechanics are flying at you. And if you don't pick anybody up, you're never going to kill the boss. So I think it's definitely way better and definitely a refreshing take on the bosses. And I hope they continue to expand on these bosses, especially, you know, making that, in that ability for players who want that difficulty, who want to feel that sense of accomplishment, to actually gain that, right? You don't have to fight these bosses. You can still get the Ubers that you want from not fighting them, but it's a nice option. So definitely excited for it to see what it ends up looking like in Season 4.
Nice. I have a very important, hard journalistic question here for you.
Sure. Nico.
Did they finally give Duriel Holy Freeze?
No.
Damn it. I think that it would be cancer. It would be cancer. But could you imagine just a holy freeze on Uber Duriel?
Yeah. Well,
but
no,
I feel like we need that at some point.
They're sticking to the poison theme. They're going hard into the poison theme. So unfortunately, no. And it's funny that you mentioned that, because I remember someone mentioning that in a Reddit post. I was like, huh? Uber Duriel does ice? Oh, okay. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, they should slap too. That's what got you killed. Doing this, you're frozen. Oh, it's tough.
They're gonna bring that up for the Uber
version. Uber got you.
Triple Uber with the expansion. I could assume we'll go into three Ubers. We're done with raising difficulty. We won't ever do that again. It'll go up to World Tier 4, and then it's just Uber 3, Uber 4, Uber 5 bosses. It makes sense to me. I don't want to see that. Don't do that. I like static difficulty. To just keep it the same, please. But we'll see. Side note. As I bring up the expansion, there was an article on, I think it was PC Gamer, that essentially stated that, you know, Blizzard has killed Diablo 4 and is essentially releasing Diablo 5, right, with this patch. And that's hyperbolic, right? That is hyperbole in its truest form. But there is some truth to it. this game feels so different now. And it's for the better, right? I like the version I'm playing as I'm running on the treadmill because I want to get, you know, back to 100. I'm enjoying that. But I know the version that's going to be out on May 13th. May 13th, right?
May
13th?
May 14th.
14th, 14th. I was close. May 14th is going to be so much better. Which, as we look ahead, we also have an expansion this year.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, right? We were told it's coming out this year. We're getting close, guys. It's going to be May when this drops. That's not too long. If anything, I'm more excited for the expansion now.
I'm still very excited. The pull on the expansion for me has little to do with the game systems and the loot. For me, it's the story, and that's like... Me and Nyan could go on and on and on about that, and we typically do. But that's what I want to know: where Nayreel went. Like, what are we doing, dog? Yeah. I mean, obviously we know where we're going, right? But I'm so ready to see Karas. Like, I'm so ready to see what they do with it and taking us back to that space and what they play on. Like, you know, how many member berries am I going to get here, and then, you know, vice versa. How much are you going to innovate and make it cool and different and new? You know, because that's really what I want to see. Is I want to see the newness. It's been a long time since we've been to this area of the map, and that's really cool. It was suspiciously left out of Diablo 4, you know, at launch, and we were all calling it like, wait a minute, this map is not complete. Like, I'm always showing my girlfriend, like, no, but there's so much more map here. Like, just wait. Right? Like, it's, yeah, I'm so excited for that. I'm like, the story for me is what I'm really excited for the expansion for. All the game systems are going to be great. I'm going to play Diablo every season. These changes are awesome. Even if they hadn't done these right away, I'd still be playing season 4, right? So, but that story, man, that's what I'm ready. I wish they'd announce a new book. I need a new book. Bad.
Yeah. Because we didn't get any sort of tie-in novel.
No, the last thing I read was Book of Lorath was the last thing, right?
Yeah. It was Book of Lorath, and then they had the Tales of Bul'Kathos.
Oh yeah, that's right, Tales of Bul'Kathos. Yeah, too, yeah.
But that of course is, you know, in the past.
Right.
Isn't, you know,
as far as canonic, yeah, like literature, Book of Lorath is the most recent, because it kind of, you know, is just his writings and scribblings over the last however many years. It's good, though. I mean, I love those books. They're great. The Adria book, yeah. The Tyrael book, the Cain, A Book of Cain, they're all good.
Okay, so we get it. You want more books.
Story.
I know. It'll be exciting. I'm excited for that, too, but also, what's that new class going to be?
I want to see what the Mephisto fight looks like. It better be banging, bro. Like, if we're going to fight Mephisto, it's got to be banging. Like, it's got to be so good.
We don't have a primeval fight in Diablo yet, or in Diablo 4, so.
Yeah, and Mephisto being the first one is appropriate. Just thinking, there's got to be Stygian dolls in this expansion. If there's not, then... Ooh. I mean, I don't want them. Look, I didn't say I want them. I don't want them. But they're coming, guys. Right? Oh, like, God. They are on the way. Stygian dolls with mosquitoes is going to be super fun. As long as they're not robot mosquitoes, it should be fine. It's goddamn constructs.
And Hierophants casting Blizzard off screen.
Mm. Yeah, them too. But mostly Stygian dolls.
I remember them saying something about adding raids to the game at some point, or maybe that's been passed around for some time now. I think it would be pretty interesting because, you know, I aren't our characters supposed to, you know, be something like a normal person, not like a Herodrim? They're supposed to be kind of like the regular kind of...
I think you kind of start like, that way. We're definitely
You're definitely more than that, but I mean, you're not supposed to be like this crazy powerful primeval slaying character. I'm not super deep on the lore, so you gotta forgive me.
At the time of the expansion, we will absolutely be that, because the Herodrim, while they are great guides, are typically our fucking Robins to our Batman, right? Like, the Herodrim did some shit back in the day, but since then, they've been riding our coattails in every Diablo game, so, you know.
Okay, so I'm hoping that, anyway, I hope that maybe with the Mephisto fight, maybe they can do something like a raid, where you have to have multiple people all teaming up to fight a big, massive, you know, primeval. It could be something that they could, you know, test out for players. I think it would be, I mean, that's one of my favorite things about like the new Helltide system with, you know, the Blood Maiden boss. Everybody has to
bring that up. Yeah.
Everybody has to come together. You're all working. You know, you may be playing solo, but then suddenly you find yourself surrounded by a bunch of players. It makes the world feel alive. I think that they could expand on those social systems and having something like a raid where you could team up with a bunch of your friends and tackle this insanely powerful primeval boss. I think it would be a cool way of like implementing a system like that.
Imagine, Nico, imagine this world. Imagine a world where you're in the Helltide and with 5 minutes left, a fucking massive world boss size Mephisto spawns and starts just lightning bolting the whole goddamn place. That would be super fun. And everyone's got to like fight to take down a giant Mephisto. Anyway, that would be amazing.
They have some of the coolest world bosses. Like, I love the world boss design. I love the way they look and everything. I cannot stand that these things are just like you run, you kill them really fast. They don't do anything.
Murdered so fast, yeah.
Like those bosses look epic. And if they like took one of those bosses, amped them up times 20, and then threw them into a Helltide randomly, I would have a blast. Maybe not in hardcore.
That would be tough.
You're not running on the treadmill for that one. I'm gonna tell you that. You're just running like.
probably would be. He just die. It's fine.
I did notice when the butcher shows up, my heart rate will spike about 5 extra beats per minute. So, I imagine in that instance, it's going to go up a little bit more than that. But
have to say that we're missing the obvious thing. If they're going to do raids in the expansion, then what's everybody's favorite type of raid encounter? Council fights. What exists?
What is a very iconic fight? Okay, look, I'm going to start drooling. We can't do this. We can't do this right now. would be amazing.
We're going into speculation. We want to avoid that. But one thing to note. If it's not a raid, just a simple group finder for the content we have would be great.
Yeah, we do need that.
I think that's a heavily requested feature. I think the fact that we haven't heard too much about it makes me hopeful for the expansion that like that's something that would be on their priority, because we have these great fights. It would be awesome to be able to find a Duriel rotation that doesn't involve spamming a Discord, that doesn't involve spamming trade chat, or just trying to find it, you know, through friends and hoping you have some of your friends list on and they have the maps and what have you. So hopefully we get that addressed, but in the meantime, you know, it is nice to kind of see the way things are shaping up. So as we get to the end here and we're kind of closing out, any last thoughts about the PTR, about season 4, or I guess anything else?
Yeah, I got a quick list of stuff that I just like was jotting down as we were kind of talking. Number one, town convenience. We haven't talked about at all. Huge win. Like www. Like, look, I get the immersion. I get the idea of this big sprawling city, but logistically speaking, it's not working, right? Keep everything where, like, they moved everything to a really tight circle in the center of, you know, all the towns. I think that they could still keep the vendors in those other spots too and have multiple vendors, so you can still keep that fantasy for people that want to do that. That's fine. But honestly, I don't care. Them being close together is amazing. That's awesome. I love it. Helltide threat, like the GTA-style threat meter or whatever, is awesome. Like the more you kill, the more hell's like this motherfucker over here and starts sending dudes at you. That's so cool. Super awesome. The baneful heart system where you're finding these baneful hearts and you got to turn them in for the blood maiden like summoning thing, the accursed ritual. Ugh, it's just Helltide's amazing. It is so good. And then I don't know if anything made me happier than like the first time I did it, because I hadn't watched videos and stuff of it yet, but the first time I actually like played the PTR was like running around killing stuff, and then this fucking worm just like spurts up out of the ground and vomits all these dudes, and I'm like, holy shit, I'm level 6, fuck, right? And I'm throwing the weakest frozen orbs ever, but it was awesome. It was super fun, and luckily there was a druid, ironically, that just stomped the shit out of the whole thing for me, which is great. Helltide experience is amped up to 11, and I love it. The only problem I also love some of the new aspects. I put that on there too, especially some of the like Accursed Touch, things like that. I got Accursed Touch, and man, that was awesome. I got, yeah, so many good powers. But my biggest knock, and the worst thing about the changes, and they've got to address this with urgency, is I still don't know if I'm a vampire. and I really need to know, am I a vampire, or am I cured of the vampire? I just know how to do vampire shit now, and it's in my codex, so I can just like know that. But for my character fantasy, am I a vampire? Am I a vampire sorcerer, or am I just a sorcerer? I need to know.
I think you're a vampire when you equip that aspect.
And but only so I take it off. So I'm like that's a choosy vampire. That feels kind of...
You're a vampire on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You could always equip the title. You could equip the, you know, you're a blood seeker.
I don't know that I necessarily want to be a vampire, but it is, you know, important to know canonically if we're, or they're probably just gonna be like, none of the season stuff is canon, in which case I would just die a little. I'm hoping some of that stuff will be canon, but just, hey, Blizzard, and all Adam. Any of the Adams, any of the Adams or Joes, can you just tell me on Twitter in a very one word response, am I a vampire? In fact, I'm going to tweet at you after this episode is over just to see if I get a response.
Well, here's to hoping. Other last thoughts, boys?
Yeah, so I have a few. So since we're talking about Helltide, right? Revert the Cinder drop rate nerf. So they definitely nerfed those, and I don't know why, right? They added mob density, they added all these cool new events, but then they nerfed the amount of cinders you got from killing mobs and even interacting with the different interactables in the environment. So revert that nerf big time. You shouldn't. It's just so much more fun. You're getting so many. You're getting a ton of cinders. You're opening up more chests. You're getting more boss summoning materials. So definitely revert that nerf. You know. Overall, really happy with it. I think it's going to be interesting to know what the final difficulty ends up being.
Yeah. Curious about that too.
More veiled crystals or reduce the cost. Everything costs veiled crystals, so definitely need to either reduce the cost of everything or they need to give you more veiled crystals by like a lot. So. And for future PTRs, and I know that they said they don't want to make this a normal thing, but I feel like they legitimately need to make this a normal thing. I don't know if they watch much, but I'm saying, like, have you not seen all the bugs we found? Like, this would have been the time they would have launched Season 4. If you think about the date, this would have been the time they launched Season 4. Holy God, it would have been a broken, hot mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to have more PTRs because, again, one of the best things that they have going for them is a community that absolutely loves their games. So let us help you with your game, have more PTRs, and for the love of God, give us access to everything when we get into the PTR. I'm literally doing Duriel rotations trying to get a Tempest Roar. I'm like, hey, guys, anybody want 5 Duriel Rotas? Come on, guys, and nothing. So it's like, give us access to the bosses. Give us access to the unique items, okay? We can still test out the drop rates just by killing the content, but definitely implement stuff like that, you know, and I think it will make it a lot easier for me to test stuff. Like, there's so many builds that I still want to test. There's tons of things that I haven't gotten to actually try out because I have to farm everything. And one of the ways around it right now is to create a character, basically take the boost to 100, delete the character, create another character, and you just repeat that process so you get more veiled crystals. However, the problem is every time you create a new character, you reset your entire codex.
Oh, no.
Yeah. That's so every single time. So I definitely love the PTR idea. I've enjoyed this week. I hope they eventually have longer PTRs. But yeah, give us more access to those things. Give us more cinders. Don't take it away from us. If you're going to give us more mobs, give us more cinders too. And overall, you know, just keep adding more stuff for players to do together. Like, we play solo, but bring us all together for something and then just keep that going. Cause it's a lot of fun. It really one of the things this game has going for it is that it has a massive open world. The way that they've done Helltides is basically expanding on it. Just keep expanding on that stuff. I think it'll make people so happy, even solo players who, you know, just like to feel like the world is alive around them. So it's really, that's probably all I have to say about that.
Nice. Nightball?
I got nothing.
That's fine. So, Nico, before we close out here, where can people find you?
Yep. So I am at Nico Rex on YouTube and on X currently. That's where I stream. That's where I upload my videos. So I don't have any plans to expand further than that. I'm trying to keep it kind of, you know, close for right now. But, you know, definitely having a great time. Love making content for Diablo. And I love the Diablo 4 community. Definitely one of the best communities I've ever been a part of. So.
Yeah, I would argue it is a great community. There's a few bad apples in the bunch, but overall, pretty great. We're not one of the bad apples. It's fine. You know who I'm talking about. You know who you are. All right.
Nobody just took that very personally.
As they should. Before we close out as well, shout out to Pure Diablo. .com still kicking, still putting out good content, and all of the goodies from the PTR can be found there, so make your way on over once this episode has concluded and daydream about what season 4 is going to bring for us all. That being said, it's time to end our episode here, so let's close it out as we always do with a moo moo moo
moo moo moo moo
moo
moo.
Moo, I guess. Moo, moo. Hey.